Today is 26 August 2021, Thursday class. So we'll be continuing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, Teachings from the Adapted Verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. Just relax body and mind and maintain some more attention. Then as usual, we will have a half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Even off the light, so that you all can develop the meditation accordingly. Yeah. Okay. So remember, this meditation is to develop awareness within. That's why it's awareness-based meditation. So what you need to do is you just silence your mind. The moment you are without thought, silent, you are already aware that nature is already there. So what you need to do is just relax body and mind, first support, then be at ease, let things be. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything, just silent completely. Then after that, just maintain awareness, the mind just aware, whatever arises, aware, thought arises, aware. Tactile sensation arise, aware. Sense experience receive at the sense basis, aware. Whatever sankhara or whatever thought process that arise, just aware, finish. After that, don't follow. Don't try to do anything, just maintain awareness. If you are doing the lying down meditation, if by lying down, initially, if you are not familiar, you tend to be sleepy, it's okay. But maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then as it goes into the subconscious or unconscious mode, you try to maintain awareness. Try your best to do it. If initially you can't, then it falls into the unconscious or the subconscious, then you start to doze off or sleep, it's okay. That it happened. But the moment you are aware, maintain the awareness again. So normally, if you continue to train this way, when you are about to go into the sleep, you will normally snore. At the first snoring, you will hear it because your awareness is still there. It's not completely gone. That's why you will hear it. Then you maintain awareness. Yeah. You have to try this exercise for as long as you can. Then after a while, the awareness will be there. So relax body and mind completely, maintain awareness. Third support is for as long as you can. Then use it to meditate. That nature need to be stabilized. Then use that to develop understanding. To be aware, to meditate, to insight into phenomena, to listen, whatever arises from that nature, awareness nature, you use it to develop understanding. Finally, the last support is trust, but most of you may not need that for support until much later. So for the time being, just first three support is enough. Relax, aware, then maintain awareness for as long as you can. Trust is for those who already have the ability to be aware, and you trust your nature to do no more thought process, no more thinking. Okay, I'll let you meditate on your own. I will set the clock for 30 minutes so that you can meditate for 30 minutes. Okay, you all can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind state that you need to use while living your daily life. and to use it to develop your daily mindfulness meditation. Thus, good and evil coexist in this world, and these karmic forces continue on endlessly, life after life. That is the reason why the Buddha came to this world to explain the difference between these two. He repeatedly came to this world and explained in detail the karmic law of cause and effect, so we can have the correct understanding of how different causes lead to different effects. Once we understand, we can cultivate the field of blessings with wisdom and good deeds. If we can eliminate ignorance, develop wisdom, give rise to wholesome thought, and cultivate the field of blessing in our own mind, naturally, we will be able to go among people and cultivate a field of blessings for the whole world. There is a story illustrating this in the Buddhist Sutra. In the Buddha's time, there was a group of 500 child beggars who often surrounded the Buddha to listen to him teach. After listening to the teachings for a while, these 500 children all aspire to become monastic and follow the Buddha in spiritual cultivation. One day, these 500 children saw the Buddha and promptly surrounded him. They asked reverently, "Compassionate Buddha, we very much want to engage in spiritual cultivation, but are we allowed to become practitioners despite our lowly status?" The Buddha smiled and said, "Among spiritual practitioners, there is no distinction between rich or poor, beautiful or ugly. As long as you have this aspiration, you can engage in spiritual cultivation." Thus, the Buddha accepted this group of children into the Sangha, and they became a group of young novice monks. At that time, many in the city of Rajagaha were shocked by this. The Buddha was well respected, and the Sangha was such a commendable group. How could they accept 500 children beggars or child beggars into their ranks? One after another, people went to the Buddha to express their disapproval, but the Buddha simply smiled and made no comment. One day, the prince Jata and a group of elderly or elders wanted to make offerings to the Buddha, so they went to see the Buddha to issue an invitation. "Tomorrow, please come with the bhikkhu to accept our offerings." However, those 500 beggars are not invited. After the Buddha accepted their invitation, Prince Jata and the elders left to prepare for the next day's offerings. The Buddha told these 500 novice monks, "Prince Jata is going to make offerings to the Sangha tomorrow, but you 500 are not invited. So tomorrow, go to Uttara to ask for alms first, then return to the place where Prince Jata is making offering to join the rest of the Sangha." These 500 novice monks obeyed the Buddha's instruction. So the next day, they first went to ask for alms in the faraway village of Uttara. Afterwards, they went to the place where Prince Jata was making offerings. When Prince Jata saw this group of young people, he was awed and deeply moved by their dignified appearance. He immediately asked the Buddha where this group of bhikkhu had come from. The Buddha said, "They are the child beggars whom you did not want to include in your offering." Feeling repentant, Prince Jata and the other elders asked the Buddha about the causes and conditions that led these 500 bhikkhu to engage in spiritual practice. The Buddha said, "Countless kappa ago, there was a drought that lasted for a long period of time. and caused widespread famine. At that time, the residents wanted to store up their food, so they were unwilling to give charitably. Only one elder still continued to make offering as usual to the 2,000 or so spiritual practitioners who at that time were living in the mountains. He also gave generously to other people who came to beg and to ask for alms. As increasing number of people came to ask for alms, the elder dispatched his 500 house servants to distribute the food day after day. After some time, these 500 servants became discontent and began discussing the situation among themselves. If the elder continued with this scale of giving alms, our bodies wouldn't be able to hold on or hold up. They continued complaining. This is all because of these spiritual practitioners. If it were not for them, they wouldn't need to work so hard. Then gradually their attitude becomes so unfriendly that over a short period of time, the number of people who came to ask for alms grew smaller and smaller. The elders was perplexed. Were the numbers diminishing because everyone was feeling too embarrassed to ask for alms? So he sent out another servant whose responsibility was to announce the offering. The servant would call out, "We are making offering at this time. Everyone is invited to come." The servant had a dog that followed him every day as he went on his round, reminding practitioner to come accept offering. If the servant overslept, the dog would go out by himself and bark to let everyone know that it was time to receive offering. Then one day, one of the spiritual practitioners who had been accepting the offering told the elder, "There will be rain in the next few days. Prepare to sow seeds immediately." So the elders instructed everyone to till the land and plant wheat seed. As soon as the wheat seed were planted, it began to rain as foretold, and the yield from the wheat field was even greater than past harvest. The 500 servants were happy and repented for complaining about the spiritual practitioners, and the long famine finally ended. The Buddha then said, "Those 500 people who were responsible for giving out alms had become resentful, so they created the karma to become beggars in this life. But because they had sincerely repented, they also had the karmic condition to encounter the Buddha Dharma and become monastic. That dog who barked to notify everyone that it was time to accept offering also accumulated many blessings for this life. Thus, he is now Elder Godzilla, who is known for having a wondrous voice." The story demonstrates the karmic law of cause and effect. As we learn the Buddha's way, we must understand the principle that new things constantly arise and cease, then arise again, continuing on endlessly to give rise to good and evil phenomena. Good and evil both arise and continue via cycle of reinforcement. Therefore, the Buddha came to this world to explain the difference between the two. The Buddha transmitted this teaching to us in the hope that we can all cultivate the field of blessing with wisdom and good deeds. We must rely on our own hard work to diligently cultivate this field of blessing and wisdom. Only when we attain the Dhamma will we have ways to transform sentient beings. Okay, so we have finished the first adapted verse, which is quite good. Okay, now we go to the second one. I will read the heading. This heading is very long. Practicing giving can transform stingy and greedy sentient beings. Upholding precept can transform arrogant and proud sentient beings. Practicing patience can transform angry sentient beings. Practicing diligence can transform indolent or lazy sentient beings. Practicing samadhi can transform unfocused sentient beings. Practicing wisdom can transform ignorant sentient beings. For the sake of those who have already been transformed, are being transformed, and will be transformed, for the sake of those in this lifetime and future lifetime, we spread the seed of goodness and aspire to transform others. Okay, so we read the commentaries. The first merit begins with the four infinite mind, and then continue with the six paramitas. The first of the six paramitas is the practice of dana parami, giving, or generosity parami. Practicing giving can transform stingy and greedy sentient beings. Means it can do away with your selfishness, greediness, and stinginess. We must first put the teaching into practice ourselves and give unconditionally. Only then can we transform greedy sentient beings. There are three basic kinds of giving we can practice. First is giving wealth or materialistic things. It's often termed offering materialistic existence. Second type of giving is when sentient beings encounter difficulties and are suffering, if we are able to comfort them and help them open up their heart, this is called giving the Dhamma. Then finally, giving of fearlessness is showing others that they can depend on us so that they no longer have to be afraid. The gift of wealth, the gift of Dhamma, and the gift of fearlessness must be practiced simultaneously in order to transform stingy and greedy sentient being. So this is what the author has presented. In fact, there is another type of giving as taught by the Buddha. It's the gift of life. When you donate the vital organs, pledge your vital organs, donate blood or whatever, it can save life. So that giving is also very wholesome. So we call that the gift of life. Okay, I'll read one. Furthermore, upholding precept can transform arrogance and proud sentient beings. So precept is morality, sila. So if you want to transform your arrogance or proud attitude, you should keep your precepts. When we are arrogant, we think we can do anything. If we think this way, we will do whatever we want and easily fall into trap in this world. One false step can bring long-lasting grief. So this saying is very true. One false step can bring about long-lasting grief. That's why evil are very dangerous. Evil action, deluded action, they can bring about long-lasting evil or suffering or misery. Therefore, we must uphold precepts to prevent wrong and stop evil. In our daily dealing with people and matters, if we can always maintain self-discipline, the precept will help us gain virtue and help us to learn to tame our ego and our arrogance. So this part is important. Understand the importance of precepts and morality. Sometimes like what the commentary said, one wrong step can lead to long-term misery or suffering. Sometimes you tell a lie, a very serious lie. That lie can end your whole career. Or you try to cheat and mislead people. You are not truthful. Your whole career, reputation, or trust can be destroyed. And sometimes you take a wrong step by being selfish, deceitful. You try to take advantage of people and situation. Then the law come after you. You get into big trouble. So one wrong step can lead to long-term suffering and misery. So keeping precept is to avoid all this. Sometimes if you keep to the precept, the moral value, you will not commit a crime. You will not land up with police case. You will not be charged by society's law. Then you will not lose your career opportunity or career life. Because people who are being charged or fined more than a certain amount or sent to prison, when you come out, it's very difficult for you to find a job or be given a second opportunity or chance to build up your life again. So precepts is very important. Sincerity, integrity, virtue are very important. Do not arise the deluded thought or wrong thought or selfish, greedy thought. Do not be violent, emotional. Do not arise the unnecessary fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. So all these are evil roots of our evil. Okay, we move on. Sentient being has so much greed, anger, and ignorance, the three evil roots. However, practicing patience can transform angry sentient being. We know that in the moment of anger, we will find it very easy to create negativity of karma. We know that in a moment of anger, we will find it very easy to create negativity of karma. Oh, this one we have covered. If the world is filled with people who are angry and vengeful, like asuras, society will never be at peace. Thus, to eliminate the habitual tendency of anger, we must practice patient endurance. We often hear people say, that person is not easily persuaded. So we must find so-and-so who has a good temperament and great patience to talk to him. In this world, each kind of teaching can address a different kind of evil. To help those prone to anger, we must first cultivate patience. Only by training ourselves to be patient can we transform angry sentient beings. So this is one of the ways to arise the understanding. At the same time, I often tell everyone, time is running out. To remind everyone that life is short. If our mindset is shaped by this awareness, as I is an awareness, it's not a thought, we can diligently move in the right direction, quickly do things that benefit people, and avoid wasting any time. Thus, practicing diligence can transform indolent sentient being, this lazy sentient being. So this sentence, time is running out, is very important. Don't always believe that you still have time. I realize a lot of so-called Buddhists or cultivator, practitioner of Dhamma, they always complacent They tell themselves, I think I still have time. And let me retire first before I go full time to cultivate. Or they will say, let me finish my study first. Then after their study, they say, let me build up my finance first, my career, my whatever financial stability, those things. Then later on, they will continue with a lot of other reasons because they don't see the importance of Dhamma. That's why they can actually allow all these things to happen. So here, when you develop the understanding, you will pay attention to such words or such advice. Time is running out. Especially those who know that they are no longer young. When you contemplate on death, marana anusati, then you will be diligent. You will not be indolent. You will not like take things lightly and allow the time to go to waste. In fact, to be diligent is very important. To do that, you must have the understanding. So be reminded that time is running out, especially for most Kayamita who are already beyond the age of 50s, some 60s and beyond. So time is really running out for these people. I will read on that. As sentient beings, mind cannot remain settled. They become filled with habits of indolence, means laziness, habits of pride, anger, and stinginess. So practicing samadhi can transform unfocused sentient beings. In fact, the nature of our mind is intrinsically pure. But because we have developed habitual tendencies over time, our mind cannot remain focused. To treat our lack of focus, we must practice samadhi. Practicing samadhi does not mean sitting in meditation without moving. Pay attention to this sentence. You think meditation or cultivating samadhi is just to sit and sit and sit without moving, then you already don't have the understanding. Means you have got it wrong. You don't understand what is meditation. We should know that carrying firewood or water is also a form of meditation. Every single action we take can be part of the practice of samadhi. To cultivate meditation or samadhi, the most important thing that you must have and develop is sati, mindfulness. When you are aware, mindful, you can develop heedfulness. Then the moment you are heedful, you are in the meditative state automatically. So every single action we take can be part of the practice of meditation or samadhi. If we can maintain our resolve to engage in spiritual practice and strengthen the power of samadhi to cultivate a focused mind, means develop mindfulness, awareness, develop heedfulness to be ever mindful, constantly meditating. If you do that, your mind will be collected, unwavering, and focused. Means it will not waver. We can transform those with unfocused mind. Means people who are heedless, who think a lot, who have not trained their mind. Finally, practicing wisdom can transform ignorant sentient beings. From giving to upholding precepts to practicing patience, diligence, and samadhi, with each step of our spiritual cultivation, we can develop wisdom and transform ignorant sentient beings. For the sake of those who had already been transformed, are being transformed, and will be transformed, means that we do this for all sentient beings. whether in the past, present, or future. For the sake of those who have already been transformed, we hope their resolve to engage in spiritual practice can be further strengthened. For the sake of those who are in the process of being transformed, we continue to help transform the people around us. For the sake of those who have not yet begun to be transformed, the many sentient beings in the future we have yet to meet or yet met, we must also aspire to transform them. So this is a very complete way, yeah, of developing understanding, especially for bodhisattvas. Yeah? That's why we make vows. We commit ourselves to plant the seed of Bodhi, then take the four basic vows of the bodhisattva and train ourselves accordingly to walk the path of Dhamma, following the bodhisattva way. If we can follow these six methods of spiritual cultivation for the sake of those in this lifetime and in future lifetime, then whether they have already been transformed, are being transformed, or will be transformed, we will be able to form good karmic affinity with all these sentient beings. So forming karmic affinity is very important. Eh? Then we can spread the seed of goodness and aspire to transform them, enabling everyone to form the aspiration to transform themselves and others. Before we continue, I would like to add something. Just now we went through the various cultivation of various type of virtue to enable to help certain type of people, like dana parami or generosity parami, is to help overcome selfishness or stinginess and all these things. Then we also cultivate a lot of other virtue and parami, even patience, yeah? And all the other related parami. If we understand that all virtue or goodness or wholesomeness can enable us to root out certain negativity, then we need to understand the importance of virtue. That's how my nature came to realize. Finally, ultimately, after your cultivation, when you come to understand the Dhamma, you end up having virtue. That is the best check. If you end up not having virtue, having more, what they call, having more ego, having more, what they call, like, arrogance, you know you are not on the right path. That is not the right way to cultivate. Whatever that give rise to all the negativity of mind state, they are not the Dhamma way. So Dhamma way always end up with virtue. That's why I say ultimately you develop all the understanding through wisdom. Then naturally from that wisdom, virtue will be part of your nature. You will have all the embodiment of all the virtue, because you are incapable of evil. That's why once you develop the awakening, the completion of the cultivation, you are incapable of negativity or evil. And naturally, you are virtuous. You are kind. You are generous. You are good. You are patient. You cannot have all those negativity or mind state. You cannot be lazy and all those things, indolence or whatever. You won't. So all this is a good check. Huh? Okay, we go on to the next. At the third verse, we continue from there. Those not able to transform others develop the will to transform others. Those who commit the 10 evils develop the will to practice the 10 good deeds. That's why it's the opposite, 10 good deeds. Those who contrive. Those who contrive develop an uncontriving mind. What is the meaning of contrive? Or scheming, deceitful. Those who retreat develop a non-retreating mind. Those who have leaks develop a mind free of leaks. Those who have affliction develop a mind to eliminate them. I think I'll get mommy to read the Mandarin. And of course, because the English is not correct. Let my wife read the Mandarin better, more accurate.
为人度者起度心, 十恶者起十善心, 造作者起无为心, 退转者起不退心, 有漏者起无漏心, 烦恼者起除灭心.
Okay, good, thank you. After I heard the Mandarin, now I understand what the author is trying to teach you. This English word sometimes, I tell you, very misleading. You don't have the real Dhamma being expressed. The English translation really can make you doesn't sound right. That's why the moment I read, I know something is not right. Yeah. So the actual meaning, now I explain, after hearing what my wife read in Mandarin, I now can explain to you clearly now. Yeah. You see, here is it, those not yet able to transform others, develop the will to transform others. Here, the English word, transform. Transform means what? He didn't say transform you to develop the Dhamma understanding. He said transform others. Develop the will to transform them. Actually very confusing. But the Mandarin is very precise. If you cannot transform the heedless to be heedful to have the Dhamma, then you must develop the will or determination or bodhi mind to do it. Then those who commit the 10 evil act, not only 10 evil, it can be action, speech or thought, develop the will to cultivate the 10 wholesome deeds or good deeds. Then those who contrive, develop, the Mandarin word is better. It's not uncontriving mind. 头先用的是什么呀? 我知道,做错字还没的。无为心。 无为心. So this 无为心 is very important. 有为法,无为法. So the meaning is very different. So those who like go about doing things, and if you don't have this ability to arise the 无为心, you will get yourself entangled in the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So this one is very important. Then the next one is the worst. Those who retreat. Here, it didn't say retreat from what? Or sometimes Buddhists familiar going to meditation retreat. Those who go to meditation retreat develop a non-retreating mind. Then you become very confused. It's not that meaning. He said those who retreat in their cultivation means do not progress. They start to decline from their cultivation. They should develop a mind that will lead to its non-declining or non-regressing. The word is regressing. So here it's not retreat, it's regressing. Those who regress in their cultivation should develop a non-regressing mind. Then those who have leak. In Mandarin, low, although you can translate literally as leak, but It's not that Thai or leak. It is not like water leaking from somewhere. So the main river Lo is very suitable for cultivation. Like ni Lo Liao something. Like you cultivate, then certain thing you're supposed to cultivate, you like miss out. And that is Lo. Lo Liao. So here, the English translation, you don't read the Mandarin and you don't know the Mandarin. Yeah, this is translated. That is the authentic sharing from the master. So sometimes if you English educator, you will have this disadvantage. Yeah, that's why I want my wife to read it out. Then even the last one also same. Those who have afflictions. The Mandarin word is very good. It's not only affliction in the sense like suffering and misery and all those things. Affliction is more related to the Dhamma, to the teaching. Because you lack Dhamma understanding, you develop suffering mentally. Then because of mental suffering, physically, you also suffer. So those who have mental and physical suffering or affliction, they should develop a mind that has wisdom to eliminate it or to root it out. So the title is very beautiful, but the English translation, you have to be careful. Okay, we read on. To be able to go among people and transform them, we must first uphold and strengthen our cultivation of the four infinite mind, or we call it the four Brahma Vihara and the six paramitas. This is how those not yet able to transform others develop the will to transform them. Now and in the future, let us aspire to transform sentient beings and afterwards help them develop their own aspiration to further transform others. So this is typical of a bodhisattva who go the bodhisattva way to cultivate. They vow to take across the limitless sentient beings. So to do that, you have to aspire to transform sentient beings and afterwards help them develop their own aspiration to further transform others. Means initially you go through the training. Then when you are ready, then you can share, teach, and take other beings across. It's your time to transform them and allow them to have this understanding so that in future, as they train and develop their own perfection, they can also aspire to further transform others by taking the bodhisattva way. So this is very beautiful. In addition to this, those who commit the 10 evils develop the will to practice the 10 good deeds. The 10 evils include the 3 evils created by our body, 4 by our speech, and the 3 by our mind. The 3 evils of the body are killing, stealing, sexual misconduct. Killing is taking the life of any living things or beings. Stealing include thievery, robbery, cheating, and swindling. Sexual misconduct is transgressing the proper boundary of relationship. Through our speech, we can create 4 evils, which are to lie, to flatter, to gossip, and harsh words. So to flatter means backbiting actually. Flattery and backbiting. A mere command from us can persuade people to do good deeds and lead people to commit wrong things or wrongdoing, or lead people to commit wrongdoing. So we must always speak kind words, pleasant and gentle words, and often give praise where it's due. Lastly, there are 3 evils of the mind: greed, hatred, and delusion. So you combine them all, these are the 10 meritorious actions, or the 10 good deeds. The 10 good deeds. Sorry, they are different from the marital section. These are the 10 good deeds. The opposite of the 10 evils are the 10 good deeds. So just now we went through one, is the list of 10 evils. The opposite is the 10 good deeds. If we can always speak wholesome words, do wholesome deeds, and think wholesome thought, we can cultivate the 10 good deeds ourselves. We can transform those who have committed the 10 evil and gradually guide them to form the aspiration to cultivate or practice the 10 good deeds. So this is for those who don't have the understanding. Those who contrive develop an uncontriving mind. Those who contrive are those who create negativity or karma. Sentient beings are easily influenced by external conditions in the world. Thus, their thoughts often become filled with greed, anger, and ignorance, leading them to create a lot of negative karma. We can advise and guide them with the Buddha's teaching and help them develop the uncontriving mind, means cunning mind, a mind that engages in still contemplation and maintain right mindfulness. Then naturally, they will not create negativity or karma. So this one is about spiritual cultivation. However, there are many people who thought they have formed aspiration to practice the Dhamma, retreat from it when conditions are not to their liking, because we hope that those who retreat develop a non-retreating mind. When we see those who are retreating from their aspiration, we should find ways to guide them and help them strengthen their will to practice or cultivate so that they will not regress. The word should be regress. We also hope that those who have develop a mind free of lick. Those who lick are those with mind of full of affliction. The helpful and kind words they hear lick out, and they keep negative words in their heart. Their wholesome thoughts also lick out, and they continuously give rise to unwholesome thought. We must find a way to help those with lick to remain in the wholesome state of mind, attain wisdom, and clearly distinguish good from evil. So this part about cultivation, maybe I need to caution your opinion. Here, what they describe is actually a lot of superficial description. Superficial description of the practice or the cultivation. But in actual practice or cultivation, it's not like that. Dhamma need understanding, need wisdom. Before you understand, you cannot change yourself. You cannot do the opposite as taught by them. So you need to develop wisdom and understanding. Otherwise, all these are not possible. So that is the part I want to share. Maybe you all can make a note. When we encounter those who are greatly afflicted, we should find a way to help them eliminate affliction. So this one again is the same. Easier said than done, like I always say. Let's say you see people with a lot of suffering, greatly afflicted. So what must you do? He said you should find ways to help them eliminate affliction. How to find when you yourself don't have the wisdom and the understanding and the Dhamma cultivation? That's why you must cultivate first. Develop your own Dhamma understanding and wisdom first. If only you yourself can be free of affliction, then only you can help others. That's why bodhisattvas already have the cultivation. That's why they can do the work. Otherwise, you can't. So a lot of what is mentioned in the commentary, you have to be careful. you cannot take it literally. It's easier said than done. But the actual cultivation is different. You need to develop the wisdom first, the understanding first. Then only you can do all this. Otherwise, you can't. Like I say, you should find a way to help. How to find a way when you yourself is deluded? You yourself have not developed the understanding. So all this, you need to understand. Huh? So to me, cultivation is most important, foremost. Cultivate, realize yourself, free yourself. Just like the Buddha mentioned in, I think, one of the sutta. He said, I think Salika Sutta. If you yourself are trapped in the quagmire, how can you help people come out of the quagmire? You can't. Unless you have liberated yourself, free yourself, you know the way to come out. And then only you can help others to come out. So that is the meaning. So I will read on. Those who have affliction develop a mind to eliminate them. Of course, we ourselves must proactively eliminate affliction. This part is reminding you to cultivate. We cannot wait until after we have given rise to affliction and have created negativity of karma. By then, it's already too late for regret. As long as we can constantly engage in the still contemplation of our mind while we protect and maintain right mindfulness, we will have the Dhamma in our heart and can naturally brush aside any conflict that we encounter in the world. So here, if you are not a practitioner of Dhamma, you are not a Dhamma cultivator, you cannot understand. That's why the author mentioned this at the end. This is the correct way. This is the correct understanding. You must constantly engage in still contemplation. Means develop the second turning of the point number two. Contemplate, reflect, and inquire with a calm mind, with a still mind, with a creative mind. So constantly contemplative, meditative. So when you can engage yourself to develop this contemplative mind, still contemplation constantly of your own mind, means develop mindfulness, awareness within, and reflect, contemplate, and inquire. Then develop the continuity of mindfulness. That's why here they say, while we protect and maintain right mindfulness. Protect means maintain and protect it. Do not allow it to slip away or regress. Then you will have Dhamma in your heart. Having Dhamma in your heart is having wisdom. And then you can naturally, they use the word brush aside any conflict. It's not actually brush aside, root out, or transcend. Go above. The mind can transcend or go above all this. Then it will not have any power to delude you or cause you any more suffering or misery. So you can transcend, naturally transcend any suffering or affliction that you encounter in the world. So cultivation is very important. We have already gone through the 10 steps of Abhijja Sutta. Step 1 is having Dhamma friends. Then step 2 is the first turning, constantly listening to the Dhamma. Means listening to Dhamma, or we call it Sutamaya Panya. When you listen to the teachings of the Sutta, discourse of the Buddha, you develop the first turning wisdom, Sutamaya Panya. So step 2 of Abhijja Sutta is constantly listening to the Dhamma to arise the Sutamaya Panya. And this is the initial wisdom that you need. Then after that is The second turning, Chintamaya Panya, you reflect, contemplate, and inquire on the Dhamma that the Buddha has already proclaimed, the discourse. So all these are the various training that you have to go through. So second turning is very important. After you listen, you reflect, you contemplate, you inquire to stabilize your understanding, then to develop a more stable, collected wisdom. And these two, first and second turning wisdom, are still what we call initial wisdom, because the third turning wisdom, which is Bhavana Maya Panya, is the penetrative one. And so that one you need to go to meditation, meditative. That one, step 8 of Abhijja Sutta, where you cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness. So step 2 is actually cultivating first turning, leading to second turning. Then after that, the third step is developing the faith. Means after you have listened, reflect, contemplate, and the Dhamma stand up to investigation, you develop the faith in the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha, the faith in the Triple Gem. That is step 3. Then step 4 is to have the initial wisdom, Yoniso Manasikara. Then after that, you move on to the next step, step 5 of Abhijja Sutta. So step 5 is, after step 4, you will develop naturally, after the initial wisdom, Sati Sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action, all movement in the present moment. Whatever you do in life, in your career environment, or whenever you are living your life, you have to be in this state of Sati Sampajana. Means mindfulness and clear comprehension. That's why constantly aware, ever mindful, constantly meditative, ever mindful. Then after that, you only can clear step 6 and 7. Step 6 is very important, but it's a natural sequence of step 5. After you have step 5, step 6 is you are incapable of the three types of wrong conduct. So this one is automatic. After you have developed Sati Sampajana, your understanding will be there. Then you will not violate your five precepts and all those things. So all this continue until the 10th step of the Abhijja Sutta. They are all part of the training, part of the cultivation. Then you can also subdivide all these 10 steps into all their various practices, and they will link back to the essential Dhamma, to all the teachings that the Buddha has taught us. So all this understanding is very important. Okay, so maybe we will stop here. Now we will open up for second session, meditation reporting.
I've been trying to doing the daily mindfulness recently, and then I noticed that it's not that easy, right?
Yeah, definitely. Initially, it's not that easy, yeah. But yeah, don't worry, be patient, persevere, it will come.
Yeah.
Always have this determination to be aware. Whenever you slip off, the awareness not there, determine to be aware. The moment you are aware, you already back on the training. That's why J. Krishnamurti say this word. Attention and inattention, he said. The moment you are aware of inattention, that is attention. You understand? The moment you are aware that you are not aware, that itself is awareness. Yeah. So determine to be aware. So every time it slips off, like anapanasati, it's the same. When the mindfulness of the in and out breath, initially when you do it very fast, it slips away. You are no longer on your breath. Never mind. Patiently bring it back. That's why in the anapanasati instructions, some teachers, they always say, do expect the mind to slip off for many, many times. Some even say maybe a million times. But that is the extent of it. But normally, if you are serious, no need, very fast, you will get it. So mindfulness is the same. The moment you are not mindful, you are aware that you are already heedless or lost in thought, that itself, that moment itself is awareness. Means to be attentive. When you are attentive from within, you are aware. Means aware, 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 determined to aware. So initially, I remember, go to your heart. From your heart, aware outside, easier. So determined to be aware. Then determined to be with the moment. You have to do it. Initially, it was slip off very fast, you know. Yeah, right. Yeah, you continue.
Yeah. And then somehow I noticed one thing is that, you know, if for the next few days, you see, I continue to do the lying down meditation diligently, like twice a day and all this. And I don't notice that somehow the consciousness and awareness is automatically turn on, is it?
Yeah.
It will just,
because that is the stability that you need. If you are most of the time aware when you are in the lying down meditation, that is the stability that you build up. If your stability or awareness is not there, you don't stand a chance, daily mindfulness. That's why I say you have to do the lying down meditation until your mind enters sati. Eh? Now you listen again. Eh? You know, maybe this one is a good revision. How does the mind enter sati? You have to be aware until the mind hardly arises, until everything becomes very subtle, very still, even your heartbeat. If you anchor it at the heart, or anapanasati, the breathing becomes very subtle. Although said the rising falling become like very subtle. You cannot feel it at all, because you need a higher sati, more refined sati to feel it. So the awareness that you rest wherever, if you're doing the lying down meditation, of course, finally it will drop to the heart. Even the heart, initially, the heartbeat or the vibration around there that you anchor, it will become very subtle. Then finally, like no more thought movement, no more sankara, you can hardly perceive it. But don't worry, stay there. Well, by then, your stability or awareness is already there. That's why I say don't try to do anything. Don't go and listen to all those commentary that ask you to do sitting, touching, feel here, feel. Forget about it. You do that, your mindfulness cannot become more refined. You just silence everything and don't do anything. Allow the mind to stay wherever it is. Without object of meditation also, never mind. Because it has become so subtle. Stay there. Until the mind enters sati. When the mind enters sati, you will know. Because after that, whatever movement from it, the awareness is there, it's like magnified, like transformed. The slightest movement or whatever little subtle movement is magnified. That if you are doing anapanasati, the subtle breathing become noticeable to you again, because your awareness has reached another stage of more refined sati, means mind has entered sati. Then during that time, even your subtle heartbeat or whatever, you will start to feel them. Even if you don't start to feel them, you will be able to be very sensitive, like you stay there. Then inside, all the vibration, everything, whatever that is happening inside, you can feel them. Even your brain, wherever you locate this awareness, you will feel them. They become very sensitive. So this is the stability that you need to reach. Then after that, when you come out of the formal meditation, you realize the awareness and your movement is one. Everything is awareness. Then all of the movement is like magnified. Then you are like one with everything. Then after that, you move your hand or whatever, the awareness and the movement is one. Then everything you see also is instantly. The phenomena and your vision, they are one. That's why specific phenomenal awareness. Then hearing also same, also instantly. Smell, taste, tactile, also instantly. Everything is like, there is a continuity. Then you want to smell, you smell. You don't want to smell, you don't have to smell. And it's not the gross type last time. Now it's like everything is instantly. I don't know how to describe to you. You have to go through to understand. Then when you eat or tasting, it's so different. The awareness is there. The clarity is there. Your mind that is instantly manifest. Not until you reach that stage, your daily mindfulness cannot stabilize. Yeah. But when your mind has entered sati, you realize your daily mindfulness will stabilize. Then you will understand what this is. Then you will start to see a lot of things that you never see before. Because that sati that has become so much more refined, mind has entered sati, is always aware. That is how the daily mindfulness can come about. But after that, you cannot be complacent. You must have a daily religious routine to anchor it, to put you on the practice and the cultivation for a certain period. Then only it becomes a part of you. So this one you have to really diligently cultivate. Stabilize it in the form of meditation, or you do anapanasati or whatever until the breathing becomes like no more breathing, very subtle. Then stay there, aware. Just aware. No need to do anything until the awareness able to detect even the very, very subtle, like no more breathing one, and you can detect. And that one is called internal breathing. The internal breathing means there is no external breathing. That very subtle mindfulness is like internal breathing. Like you don't need to breathe one. Yes. I don't know how you describe it. You actually, your breath become like no more breath. You hardly breathe, but you are healthy. You are strong. Don't go and panic now. Oh, if I don't breathe, I will die. No oxygen. No, the internal breathing is very different. That one sustained life. That one is from the life force. The life force that is aware, just aware, pure awareness. Then the life force can be anywhere. It can be anywhere you locate it. Then it will move. That's why there is trust. So stability of mindfulness is very important. So salute to you, as you know. Luckily now you become like more serious in developing the daily mindfulness. That's why you can describe it's not easy initially slip away, which is correct. That's why I sadhu you. But be patient, diligently do, and it will come. So in the formal meditation, stabilize it until mind enters sati. Then when you come out of it, you will know. When your mind enters sati, you will know. Even bowing, say do. Don't try to know. Bow until the body and mind move as one. That is the mind enters sati already. Then you realize, how come all of a sudden, like nobody is bowing? The awareness and the movement of the kaya become one. That is the real kaya nupasana. That's why bow until body and mind become one. Nobody is bowing. Then all action, all movement become coordinated with the awareness. The awareness and the movement is one. That's why specific phenomenal awareness. Everything become one. Then the blinking of your eye, you aware. Then any movement or turning or whatever. Then the subtle movement, all like magnify, like continuous. like slow motion continue, but actually it's not slow motion. You have this sensitivity to be mindful of it, to be aware of it. That's why you become very different. Then you will know. During that time, I remember, I just stand and observe people talk, people speak, people move, people walk. But myself, whole body, fully aware that all the slightest movement or activity is the way. Then because of this awareness, I can also be aware of the outside. The people, Char Kway Teow or what, like my awareness is within, inside that person. So I can see all this. That is the stability of daily mindfulness that can arise when your mind has entered sati. Okay, sit down. Listen to this. You continue,
And I notice the religion's routine is very, very important. Yeah. And it actually sort of like anchor my whole cultivation path,
you
see?
Yes.
And because I understand that the feet is the first thing that, you know, trigger the whole entire cultivations.
Yeah.
And then religious routines is to set you a very strong path, is it?
Yes.
You know,
you are right. Yeah, very good. The faith is most important. Then that one drive you. Then your religious routine anchor your cultivation to make you ever mindful. Constantly with the practice, with the cultivation, with the Dhamma. That's why religious routine is very important. That apart from your usual meditation before you sleep, when you wake up, then whenever you come down from your house, you go to your altar, you pay respect. Before you go out, you pay respect. Then you come back, you also pay respect. You go to temple, the first thing is pay respect. Then in between, develop mindfulness, daily mindfulness. So even until you move out from your house, maintain the daily mindfulness while driving, while walking in the Pasamalama, or even in your work environment, or even in the midst of life, existence, be aware. This awareness training is very important, and it can be done because my nature has done it. Within 2 weeks, they come to me and everything becomes so different. That's why after that, I can see a lot of things without that stability or daily mindfulness. A lot of things I cannot see. If you cannot see, you cannot understand a lot of the things that I try to describe to you. But that Dhamma comes from the silent mind, from the awareness nature within. And without the stability or daily mindfulness, your awareness nature within cannot shine forth. That's why Hui Ning's first hallmark of Wu Nian means the awareness nature, is that self nature, that true nature, your true mind. That one, if you cannot shine forth and develop the understanding and the meditation, you cannot meditate at all. So that daily mindfulness is very important. That's why I say ultimately to go beyond normal Dhamma knowledge and first turning, second turning, contemplation and reflection, you have to develop the daily mindfulness to develop the third turning, the penetrative third turning wisdom, bhavana, mayapanya. Otherwise, the true Dhamma understanding cannot unfold unless you have cultivated from your past. Then first turning, second turning can help you to understand and inherit your past, and then you maybe can move on. But this life, I realize you still need the continuity of daily mindfulness to really have the penetrative wisdom to connect to your past, to locate your gateway, everything. Without that stability of daily mindfulness, the realization of your true mind, the silent mind, your meditative mind, you can't penetrate the real Dhamma. Very good. Faith and the religious routine. Continue. What else?
Yeah. And I understand that the Bodhisattva vow is very, very important. And I translate into Mandarin, you see.
Oh.
Because somehow rather, Mandarin is my first language, my mother tongue.
So
it's more resonate with my nature.
Very important. You better translate it.
Yeah.
You better,
so,
develop that correct translation. It will help a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. It creates the emotions, you see.
Because you can understand better. Well, Mandarin is very appropriate to Dhamma.
And somehow I noticed, you see, if you have the emotion involvement, you see,
Faith will go into your feeling, the pure feeling. The pure feeling is very near your true nature, your true mind. Then with that pure feeling, the faith become very strong. Then when the faith is very strong, this is spiritual faculty. It will make you understand spiritual teaching. That's why Sada is most important. It will drive you. Then it will give rise to causes and conditions for you to understand spiritual teaching very fast. And you actually progress very fast. I remember because of my faith in the great beings, Kuan Yin, Buddha, and also my teacher. Oh, then I move very fast. Then I listen attentively because of the faith. Then all the meaning come out. Of course, I also inherited from my past. But I realized faith is very important, which is very true. That's why I determined to have the faith. When I have the faith, I can understand many things. Very good. You have got almost everything correct. Yeah? Daily religious routine, then the four basic vow, the bodhisattva vow and all that thing. What else? Good.
Yeah, and also I'll add in things that, you know, tailored for my situations, you know. Involve power of merit or to certain things, you see, all these things.
Yeah, so invoking power of merit, all in the yellow card.
Alright, so I think that yellow card is basically the very completion.
Yeah,
you know,
very complete, comprehensive, complete understanding of the Bodhisattva way. That's why this one you cannot find in even Mahayana book one. You cannot find.
And Brother, apart from this, I have a question. I don't know whether it's suitable to ask or not.
I've been
asking a few Kayamitas, you see.
They
also don't know how to answer. But they also wanted to know, but a lot of them, they don't dare to ask, you see.
No problem.
Okay. In the past few years ago, whenever in the Cameron retreat, you already mentioned that particular person is like connected. You know, like two examples. One is Adeline, you know, there was one day Adeline after the lunch he reported say that he went to the men's tribe and then he sort of like noticed the Pi Lu Zhen Fo, you know, has spoken to him, to her, is it? So and then after he reported her experience, you say, you are connected.
No, there is affinity. Affinity, you understand or not? Affinity. That's why it's connected to Virochana Buddha's affinity with the nature. So when you talk about connect to the nature, is different again. Your own nature, your true nature, that one is different again. When you located your gateway, then you connect inside. That one is a different connection again. Connection, that's why the English word is very loose. So it can also mean affinity and all those things. But what is your question? More important.
Yeah. My question is like we don't know what you mean, you see. Like whenever you say a person, like you say you connected to your nature, you see. So
Is Po Cheng in Singapore. When when he relaxed and silent, then the gateway there, he opened up like a tunnel. Everything melt inside. That one is true connection. But don't be excited by all this, because all these are part of the way, part of the training. What is more important is the understanding, the transformation of consciousness that arises. That happened Only the person who go through can understand. So don't try to listen and look for it. You cannot do it because the thought wants to understand and find. So all this, you can't. Just listen, then let things be. Just tell yourself, when the time comes, if I hit this cultivation, I will understand. That's why when Po Ching hit that cultivation, she knows. And she can describe, but because it's new to her, she can't describe it in the way where she is able to use all those appropriate words. So the stability of understanding not there, that's why the description not there. But the moment I share, she will understand because she knows, yeah, exactly, so beautiful. Because this one is beyond words, beyond concept, is without any duality thought behind. It's just that nature, that movement, that transformation, that mind that has become different, no longer the thinking mind, the mundane mind, the silent mind, the awareness nature. So initially, just listen enough. Don't try to know, don't try to analyze, don't try to reason. Don't go and look for it. Oh, I think last time I had this experience, might be the same. Forget about it. Because whether it's the same or not, it's not important. More important is what happened to you after that. If you really have the transformation, then that is the important one. So a lot of things, before you go into the cultivation, before you experience certain things, you may not know what it is, but after you experience them already, then to a cultivator who has gone through all this, they can guide you, they can explain to you. Then when you hear them, if it can give you faith, good. But don't because of that be excited and want to look for it. That one will be a hindrance. That one will be unconsciously, it will actually lead to what we call it will stagnate you, prevent you from moving because you
obstruction.
Not really a strong obstruction, but it like block you, prevent you from further progressing because you want to know. You want to know and you want to think that you also want to realize that or achieve that. That is the thought driving you to do it. But when you do, don't try to know. Remember my instruction. Don't try to know. Don't allow memory to come in. Then don't go and inside there create the thought, is this what Brother Theo say? Is this what the Buddha say? Forget about it. Just do. Relax. Maintain awareness. Silent. Then when it comes, when you have realized the stability of the awareness nature, you will understand what that thing is. It's just like winning. After he has realized what that self nature is, the true nature, he will know. It's so amazing. Then he will know the characteristic, everything. Now, that one is through the direct seeing, the awakening, not to a concept, an idea that you hear before. Then you try to look for it. Okay? You know? That one very important.
Yeah, sadhu, sadhu. I know that this is just the thought wanted to know the same thing.
Because yeah. Most people are curious. They want to be part of that happening. You connect already. I also want to connect. Oh, I think I also connect already. Then among the practitioner, they become like sidetracked already. Instead of going after the cultivation, stabilizing the awareness and stabilizing the daily mindfulness, they are more interested in whether they connect or not. Then you debate. So a lot of these things, when you hear or what, just acknowledge it, finish. After that, don't even try to look for it or remember it or what. Just let it be. It can be in the memory, never mind. But do not hold on to it. Do not go and like seek it. or try to understand it and realize it. No point. Well, this one is a cultivation. Cultivation, the individual must go through it and realize it. If you don't go through it and realize it, no point. No amount of sharing and words can actually make the difference. Yeah? If you are not at that level of cultivation, you cannot experience it on. Then you cannot understand. But sometimes all this, if people have gone through, have the condition, then I have to explain. Then I have to let people have the credit, rejoice, and let you all know that this can be faith. If she can do, other people also can do, like Po Cheng. Initially, she don't know anything when she came, and she was so new, but she followed instruction. She do exactly what she was told, and through listening, constantly listening and determining, he follow every step, every advice, very closely. That's how she penetrate. That's how she able to go through all this and transform. So all these are possible. If you really attentive and determined with the faith, then follow like what you have gone through. So this question is okay, but the advice is don't go and create attachment. Don't try to know. When you meditate, don't try to know. Remember this word. Just do. Cultivate. Then everyone is different. Some will go through different way to realize things. That's why everyone is different. Not everyone have to follow the same route, the same path, because you can approach the 84,000 Dhamma Dao from any direction or any particular peculiarity of your own cultivation. So all this, only the individual can develop the understanding. And as you go through the cultivation, you will see a lot of very beautiful transformation. But ultimately, whatever direction you approach and come from, the Dhamma that you realize always the same. No two different Dhamma, it's only one Dhamma. Then it will go back to the actual teaching, the reality. Everything that the Buddha, through his essential Dhamma that has described, all those will be very clear. It will stand out. Okay? So for the time being, don't try to know. Just leave it.
I can relate myself to what you are advising, is it? Because many years ago, you see, I always always ponder, say, I've been working so hard, yet there's no result and all this kind of thing.
I
think everyone is different and everyone have their timing and their
path. You have your own timing, your own condition. It's just like last time Song also said. When she brought Polai here, he also had that feeling. How come he's so charged? I told him, no, your time will come. Your condition will come. Then after that, not long, it happened. Then for you also same. Initially, you can't because of your coming obstruction and all things. Then later on, because you are patient and you had the faith and you continue to persevere, then you continue to help out in the whatever Kayamita thing. Then especially the what we call the Dharma website, www.bradtill.com, and all the all our recording, the tapes and everything. That all this together with your faith, and because you also have affinity with Song Liao, then you continue to actually do. That spiritual trip, you also did a lot of very good thing, very wholesome thing. And because of that, the condition unfold. In the last two over years, you actually progress. When you start to understand what sati is, that is the time you start to progress. Then you start to understand a lot of words that are used, especially that guy who came, what is his name already? That He never met me before. He only
visited. Brother Chong, is it?
Brother Chong. After he came, you were very close to him. Then you discussed a lot of things with him. Then he was able to share with you a lot of things that you realize is exactly what I have told you before. Then you realize, hey, how come this fellow never met me, can understand all these things that I say, but he only understand to the extent he understands that there are a lot of things he still haven't actually penetrated, because he know what my sharing is, and he know this is very difficult to come by and all those things, but he has not gone in and do it. He only know that it's very beautiful. Then the sati he also know, but he has not really stabilized it yet. So not until he go to the stability of it and go through the whole training, then transform further, and then like whatever he share later on will be different again. So a lot of things you start to see and understand. That's why after that you have a lot of faith. You come and very excitedly tell me, oh, is it beautiful? What you say, what is very true? This Brother Chong also he experienced. And he actually didn't come to me until much later, until he himself say he cannot already, he must come and see me. I don't know where he got my teaching. He read it somewhere, and I think from the internet or somebody told him or what. Then he start to listen and all the thing. Then he know it's very beautiful, very amazing. But he got nobody to talk to already. Because he cultivate on his own. He also research an understanding where only my sharing and teaching has the answer to what he encounter. So that's why he very keen to come and discuss with me and talk to me. Then I try to explain to him, gave him the pointer and the understanding. But not easy, because there are certain things he has not gone in. He has not stabilized and all those things. He has some inkling on what that thing is. Then sometimes when he try to explain, I know where he is. But let him go through all this and understand it on his own will be better. Because sometimes it's no point trying to like spoon feed a person. They have to go through. Then also maybe he seldom attend the physical class. But because of MCO or this thing, I think he listened to the recording and the sharing thing. So all this help. Okay?
Okay, Namo Buddhaya. So sorry, I have not been attending your class for quite some time.
Don't worry, you are busy, I know. You have to help a lot of people. and you have to rush around,
Okay, I just need to update for what happened to me the last few weeks, but you have just like
share. Yes, very good.
I think everything started after the help. I volunteered for your writing up the transcript for you.
Sadhu, that one helped you a lot. Oh, really, that one, the book is coming out soon. The printer has got our final copy. So now he's preparing the print copy for us to check. After that, I think maybe next month we should be able to get it printed. So sadhu to you and Engby and Po Cheng. Po Lian, I think. Chiu Po Lian.
So because
I think more of you,
Because there was a time where Malacca also had a spike for our COVID patients, that I was also very busy and tight. The very moment was very funny where Jin Hao he said, if you're very busy, you actually can send whatever you've done and we can pull out for you. So I actually sent to him, you see. When I sent to him, when I went to work, I didn't follow up with him that whether he received.
No wonder.
So after a few days, Rachel came back and asked me, have you sent? I said, yes, I've sent. Then that was very few.
Yeah.
I opened the file again, and suddenly I was like, I realized a lot of thoughts coming in, like, did I do properly? Did I really listen properly? So I started to readjust and do a lot of amendments towards the original.
Yeah, your final copy sent to me was good.
Then was my original copy that I sent to Chin Hao.
Oh, so, no wonder.
In between that time, I really do a lot of touch up. Then I felt a lot of anxiety, a lot of this thought coming in that, you know, did I hear this correctly? And a lot of things.
That is good. Because you went through this phase, you learn a lot. Because a lot of people, they think they have listened correctly. But when I do the editing, you will know the words become different. And then you read again, oh, the actual meaning was so beautiful. Well, the word that was sound the same, look the same, but may not be the same. So you will learn. But your transcript final one came out was quite good. I didn't need to amend much. Most of it was there. Yeah. Which was very good. Then Ng B, I think, helped me a lot. Ng B helped to go through round one. So that one was very good. But Ng B one very good. Whatever correction she do, she highlight there. So that's why I know. That's why I know most of yours is still very good, very authentic.
Thank you, Matthew. That's where I start, you know, realizing that how the thoughts can play tricks to us.
Yes. Yes. Sankara.
And following after that, actually our Kamita Brahmananda actually got got scammed on phone. Actually,
okay.
So he actually managed to record down. The conversation is around 3.5 minutes to 4 minutes. So they actually managed to took around 200-300 ringgit from his phone scan his phone and manipulate his phone.
Yeah.
So he record down. Then it's like when I listened to record, I was realizing that this man was so aware, was so calm, and was so relaxed. And you know, our friend Ananda was like,
Then
I realized how a person can actually the winning points actually when a person relaxed, aware,
he
can control the situation more than a person that just react towards. So that's the thing. So then, as Malacca was also one of the states that's the highest, so we our wards are all full, and we actually made the car parks as a temporary ward. And thankfully, the director of hospital allowed homeopathy to combine with Western.
Traditional homeopathy.
So we I realized that going my roundings, I see when there's a lot to do with also awareness and breathing, right?
That one is very important. Awareness is very important. Yeah.
When you're not aware of breathing, that's when you get anxious and you tend to lose breath and you get agitated. That's when you lose
everything. When your breath is not well regulated, it means you are not aware. You cannot act actually. You are not peaceful, you are not calm. But when your breath, anapanasati, is stable, when you are mindful, you can act and you have clarity and you can give faith. And people will actually feel better. They will respond better. When they look at the doctor, they will know. There are certain doctors who are really very good, very ethical, and they know what to do. They give confidence to the patient, that you feel
because I was emotionally down, mentally down, because there are too many patients to handle, you know, this condition.
Yes, there is a lot of fear because of the pandemic. And many things can actually cause people to collapse because there is a lot of negativity around. Then the fear and the insecurity and the doubt, actually that one, very negative, the energy. Then they are not peaceful, not calm. So they need
and we have many members around, but it's kind of hard. It's kind of difficult because they don't have family members to come with them. They are all alone, and that's where we give them moral support.
You must give them moral support. That's why I realize now they also introduce this when they give the chat, the inoculation, which is very good. They say, tarik nafas, means breathe deep. I realized that was good. That was what I'm doing. But before I can even take one breath, the whole injection was already over. Then the nurse said, oh, uncle, you very good. You tak takut apa pun darah. I say, you cakap tarik nafas. I mean, nafas belum habis, you dah siap dah. So that one, very good. Tarik nafas is very good. You ask him to tarik nafas. If he know how to breathe deep, it's a few seconds. Then by then, the jab is already gone. People fear and become tense. That's why they cannot do a proper injection. So when you are relaxed and you know how to tarik nafas or just maintain awareness, very fast they do. And the nurse was very impressive. She said, uncle, you're very good. Oh, you tak takut. Apa pun darah. I said, ini biasa lah. You cakap tarik nafas. So all these are very faithful. Then your transcript part you did is very good. The first part on awareness-based meditation. So now your understanding of awareness-based meditation based on that part is so much clearer, and now you can do already. That's why I can see you are different. You are more calm, more peaceful now. And you can really do the lying down meditation. Not like last time you running around, stressed out. Even my doctor also know you got no time to rest. You were so stressed out because too many things going on inside there. Then whenever you all need to have a rest, you really snore off and sleep very soundly. Then also food, you all like food, you and Ananda, but it's good. You got good appetite, you can eat, you must eat. But more important is now you know how to develop the awareness and the way to meditate. You can recuperate very fast and it will help you in your career and the thing you do. Sadhu to you.
Thank you so much.
So your sharing is very good. So hospital, now I believe the situation is not so bad, isn't it now? The ICU are less severely taxed now compared to last time. You can rest. That's good. Yeah. So you are on call or you are permanently attached there?
Volunteer,
sadhu. So they take you in as frontliner, volunteer. Very good. Sadhu, rejoice. So let us rejoice with the good sharing from Chin Hao and Dr. Jay. So let us rejoice by saying sadhu. 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 Sadhu.